With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Basketball, football, they have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You can get your winnings back in 2 hours. My favorite, the same game parlays. You can bet $5 or $10 and win $150 or more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started now. Sign up promo code Colin so they know we and I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Hi, everybody, and welcome in to our Independence Day podcast. Joel Klatt's going to join me for 30 minutes of great college football talk. And we're talking the additions to the Big Ten, USC, UCLA. We're talking SEC. We're talking Notre Dame. Will Oregon get invited to the Big Ten? A broad overview look at the goings-on in college football over the last several days. So the Kyrie Irving to the Lakers rumors and the Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warrior rumors, I don't think those deals are going to happen in the next day or two. And I'm not really sure. I'd bet 80-20 KD to the Warriors will not happen. They're not going to give up the farm, and I don't think deep down KD wants to be a Warrior. But Kyrie Irving is in Los Angeles, is not leaving, it's been said, until a deal is done. And this is something to think about. That I know a lot of people that listen to my show say, you know, Colin, you talk about LA and California teams a lot because they're all winning. The Warriors, the Dodgers, the Rams, the Lakers won a title 3 years ago. They're winning. Our soccer teams are good. People are good. Now Lincoln Riley at USC. When I worked at ESPN for a decade, you had more viable teams in the Northeast. The Giants won a Super Bowl, you know. The Yankees were the Yankees. The Red Sox were, for some of that time, excellent. Right now, New York's going through a terrible state of their sports, where their NBA teams and their NFL teams are a mess. One of the things that's really happening in Los Angeles is that when the Rams move to town, the NFL is so powerful, it is taking market share and big suite owners and advertising revenue from all the other teams. And when the Rams win the Super Bowl, it's put the fear of God in Jeannie Buss and, you know, the Dodgers group, that the Rams are here, they're winning, they're becoming the model of the NFL, and they're not going away anytime soon. And I think this is a big part of Jeannie Buss of the Lakers willing to say, yeah, Kyrie's a headache, Kyrie is selfish, it seems absurd, my father wouldn't have done this, but it makes sense right now in Los Angeles to get Westbrook out of town and get Kyrie in. You'll become a playoff team, and you'll become relevant again. Inside the walls of the Lakers, they are very aware of the media criticism. And Jeannie is very aware that Steve Ballmer and the Clippers have more money, more net worth. They're going to build a new arena, and they're going to be a team that is, like the Warriors, willing to pay a heavy, heavy luxury tax. The Lakers would rather not do that. The Buss family's wealth is all with the Lakers. Steve Ballmer's wealth with the Clippers is not. It's not just with his pro basketball team. And so I think there is a sense of, if not desperation or panic, a little fear. You've got to make the Lakers relevant again. They'll always sell tickets. You can give away tickets. You can paper the crowd with freebies. But right now in Los Angeles, if USC wins 9 or 10 games, Rams, Justin Herbert, Dodgers, Clippers, I think have to be deemed as a top five team in the league next year, Paul George and Kawhi. For the first time maybe ever in the last 30, 40 years, the Lakers are in danger of becoming the fourth topic of conversation because the Westbrook thing just does not work. It does not work. Kyrie works. And you can talk yourself in as a fan, as an owner, as a player. You can talk yourself into Kyrie, AD, LeBron being a championship team. I don't think they are. You can talk yourself into it. You can't if Westbrook is on this roster. Let's get to Joel Klatt. So Joel Klatt is the voice of college football on Fox. And we do a lot of deep dives, although we have our TV segment every week where I try to mentor him and he doesn't want to listen.
That's true. I love it.
But this is interesting, Joel. About 3 months ago, Mike Bone and I were on the phone. I was in my backyard and he was talking about the challenges of Southern California. It's a very distracted market. And, you know, he was saying, hey, do you have any ideas? And I said, you can't play Rice in L.A. When Pete Carroll was here, there was no NFL. There was no LAFC. Yep. The Dodgers weren't as dominant. The Clippers were a joke. I'm like, the world's changed. You can't play Rice. I said, what I would do, Mike, I would call Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, and I would have 1 to 2 home and homes every year, Big Ten, because the Pac-12's so weak, Lincoln Riley's not going to be challenged by year two. He's just not going to be challenged on a weekly basis. And it was funny. There were other things talked about during the call, but you know, we were just talking. Mike's always called me and just asked questions. You know, LA.
Sure.
And so when the moment happened and I got the call on USC moving to the Big Ten, my thought was, well, I don't know if he was teasing me, but I wasn't shocked by it at all. Yeah. Were you?
No. Well, let me initially, yes, because I had not heard anything. And normally, and you know this, and you and I talk about this all the time, like when there are things going on, like you hear little ripples, right?
Yeah.
Like little things like, oh, okay, that would be interesting. You kind of, this was, I felt like very well kept by everyone involved. And so when I initially heard it, I was surprised and I was shocked. And then 3 minutes later, after that wears off, it's like, well, yeah, you know, like, of course this happened. This was, and I think if you really have any semblance of 30,000 foot view, this was inevitable in some way. To me, it comes down to, and the conversation, I'm sure what he was talking to you about, is economics and exposure. And in the Pac-12, that had degraded both of those things drastically since the beginning of the century, really, you know, since the Leinart Bush days at USC, when the Pac-10 at the time was a viable and very healthy, and great conference. And it has deteriorated to a point that it has become a punchline.
Yeah.
And I've thrown that line out there and people think it's unfair, but it is fair because the Pac-12 is literally a hashtag now called Pac-12 After Dark. Like, it's no one watches them play.
Right.
And when you look at the economics of where the SEC is about to go with their media rights deal and where the Big Ten is about to go with their media rights deal and what's on the horizon for the conferences like the Big 12, the Pac-12, the economics weren't even close. Those conferences were going to start to double up the others in terms of the revenue distribution per school. And you can't sit in that situation. So in some ways, USC's hands were totally forced. And I know that I'm going to talk a lot about this in terms of USC's, because this was USC driven.
Yes.
UCLA is along for the ride. And
yep.
I know that they'll bristle at that, but they are. And that's kind of the truth.
Well, you know, I've said this before. It's easy to beat up on Tom Hansen and Larry Scott. And I don't think either was a visionary as a Pac-10 or Pac-12 commissioner. But there's something I've tried to tell my friends for 20 years, because I've lived in all four corners of the country. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 is at a disadvantage.
Sure.
Seattle, San Francisco, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Denver / Boulder. A lot of these teams are in professional sports markets.
That's right.
SEC's not, Big 12's not, Big 10's not. So USC and UCLA, University of Washington, Cal, Stanford, Arizona State are competing against pro teams. Mm-hmm. It is hard to create the fervor and the interest when there's a game tomorrow with professional players, often in the same stadium or same area code or vicinity. And so it doesn't mean as much out here. I've noticed since the NFL arrived in Los Angeles, UCLA, USC, read the LA Times, listen to Sports Talk Radio. They're not on it. They're just not a topic at all.
I do still believe, and I think you'll agree with this, I still believe that USC has that potential. USC captures the heart of LA, maybe more so than any other team that's here, even professionally. Maybe other than the Lakers.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being too college-centric, but boy, when the USC is rolling, they desperately love it when USC gets going here.
Yeah.
It's everything about it, the sunglasses on the band, the Coliseum, the scene. I still believe that USC can be kind of the focal point of the sports world in their market, and no other Pac-12 school can really do that.
Yeah, no, I do agree. Lincoln Riley, you know, it's funny because I got a lot of this. Whoa, Lincoln Riley doesn't want this. But when Lincoln Riley took that Sunday morning call with Rick Caruso, Carol Fault, Mike Bone, I don't know every word of it, but I do know they sold him on moonshots and the Olympics and big and expansion and playing the best. So he's got 2 years to load up this roster, two more transfer portal cycles, two more recruiting classes. So by the time he gets into the Big Ten, this team will be ready to play against anybody.
Sure.
I think at home against Ohio State, maybe not in Columbus, but they'll be able to go toe-to-toe with everybody else in that conference. So, you know, when I look at the Lincoln Riley situation, and I say to myself, I don't know if he knew going forward, but he's not a guy to me. I think he left Oklahoma because a reality set in. Oklahoma is decreasing in terms of viability, the state, for high school recruits. Texas has oil money. Sark and Jimbo Fisher, harder to pry players out. He's moving to the SEC and going to go up against SEC schools that have been recruiting those high schools for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think he looked in the mirror and thought, I got to get to a state with more players.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be harder and harder with the NIL to pry away players from Texas, oil money. There's just more money in Texas than Oklahoma. So that's always been my takeaway, why he left. He just looked at the reality of his program, Texas, the SEC, and thought, I got to get to a bigger state. It could be a Florida school. It could be a Texas school. It could be a California school. If Kirby Smart was struggling, it could be the Georgia job. But I got to get to a state that is mine, where the NIL money generated by my state can compete.
I think that there's only four schools in the country that can open up their back door and be within an hour's drive, not flight, drive of a recruiting base that could finish number one in the country. I think it's Miami. I think it's Georgia. I think it's probably LSU or Texas or combination of those two, and then USC.
Yeah.
So, you know, and maybe you throw A&M in there because of the proximity to Texas, but my point is that it is a really small number, and yeah, it does not include Oklahoma. It doesn't even include Ohio State. You know, they've got to be a national recruiter. It doesn't even include Alabama. They can't sit in Alabama. They've got to go out. They've got to win battles in Texas and Louisiana and Georgia. I mean, you know this, right? And right, so it's really made what Nick Saban has done even more remarkable. But USC is one of those places where you can open up the back door, you can get in your car, you can drive south on the 5 for an hour, you can drive north on the 5 for an hour, and you can have a roster that can finish as the number one class in the country. That's the truth of it. I think that was a big reason why, and I think that he saw, and I'm going to get crushed for this, but I don't think Oklahoma is totally tapped out, but I think he saw how perfect it had to be in order for Oklahoma to win a national championship. Yep. And I think that USC probably has more wiggle room in that because of what I was talking about in recruiting. And that is not a knock on Oklahoma. So I want to be abundantly clear here for everybody that listening to this. I believe Oklahoma is a top tier blue chip program in college football. I think that they will win. I like Brent Venables a lot. I think they can win at the top level. I believe they'll win SEC championships in the future. And I think that they still and can win a national championship. I do believe that it's harder there than it can be at USC. And I believe that even more so now after this move with USC going to the Big Ten.
This baseball season, turn K's into cash. Big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Okay, right now, new customers, step up to the plate. No sweat first bet, up to $1,000. Here it is. Sign up, place your first bet. FanDuel will give you, listen to this, up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. You get paid fast. It's safe and secure. Great promotions every day. No better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Always use the promo code Colin to get the deal. Get you started. It's called No Sweat First Bet, up to $1,000. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney Plus. On Disney Plus, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truth and lies in the spy thriller The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney Plus, available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Michelin tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Michelin, test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
I was told by somebody who I trust the Big Ten will only add Notre Dame. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
I would agree with that, by the way. I'll jump in. I completely agree with that. I don't think they expand anymore unless it's Notre Dame.
I agree. I think it's harder and harder to be independent. Let's touch on that, because okay, Notre Dame was independent forever, then conjoined with the ACC half the way. Why can't you be independent and viable anymore? Explain that.
Oh, that's a great question.
The revenue's too great from conferences?
Yes, because there's only six or seven games that you're selling as an independent. You've got to find the revenue out of your road games. Okay, when you're in a conference, so Ohio State, let's just bring up Ohio State and Notre Dame. Okay, that's the difference. Ohio State is essentially in the Big Ten selling both their home games and their away games. So they're maximizing their brand regardless of where they're playing. Notre Dame doesn't do that. So Notre Dame is maximizing their brand in their home games because those are the ones that they own. But they have to have some sort of other arrangement for a grant of rights for their road games in order to supplement the rest of the revenue that a team like Ohio State would get from their conference. Now, the trade-off is that Ohio State then has to go and share evenly amongst the other schools in their conference. I do believe that it is getting to a point where Notre Dame is sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, we are leaving money on the table.
Yes.
By being associated with the ACC in our loose affiliation with them in a football sense, and then obviously with the other sports, versus potentially two other options. So let me walk through the options. Here's what I think Notre Dame, this is what's on the table for Notre Dame. I do believe that they can stay independent, maybe not for a long time, but at least for the near term. As long as they were to leave the ACC scheduling partnership that they have, they leave all their other sports, they basically leave the ACC, join the Big Ten in every other sport but football, and then get the loose scheduling agreement with the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I believe that they would garner enough revenue at that point where they could stay independent. There will become a time when that just is going to be moot and they're going to have to fold themselves into the Big Ten. There is an air of inevitability that Notre Dame will at some point be a Big Ten member. I just don't know if that's in the next 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years.
Yeah,
I hope I answered your question there. I think
you were asking
me why can or can't you be independent. I believe, I think I did.
Yeah. It's funny. I I think football, because of the scarcity of games, is the easiest part for a Texas, Oklahoma in the SEC or a USC, UCLA in the Big Ten. That's the easy part. There's five road games. Mm-hmm. And remember, Iowa, Nebraska, those are not difficult flights. Those are pretty quick from Los Angeles, right? Mm-hmm. 3 hours-ish. Chicago's 3 hours, 15 minutes. These are not difficult flights. And if you only play five road games, you know, you may not even play back-to-backs. USC or UCLA will play 3 out-of-conference games at home, and then they'll have, you know, 10 more games, and they'll do 5 on the road. I don't think weather is a big issue. September, October, and early November, you've been at those Big Ten stadiums. It's gorgeous. And you may play your last game, which is Thanksgiving weekend for the Big Ten. You may play your last game at home many years. So your last road game, maybe November 16th. I'm sorry, Ann Arbor's not Buffalo. It's fine. It's going to be okay. I think the Olympic sports, it's really, really hard. And you just, you're going to lose more money than you've ever lost because of flying teams all across the country. But you know, when I look at all this stuff, there's a part of this that in the past 20 years, the amount of corporations in America has been cut in half. It used to be 7,500. Now it's 3,700 because of consolidation. People get gobbled up. Now we know that, you know, unlike college football, nobody's getting gobbled up. But what we're seeing in a sense is consolidation.
Yes.
Is that the English Premier League was almost gobbled up, right? The big dogs were like, why are we splitting revenue? So for the remaining...
I mean, Colin, this is happening in golf right now.
The best golfers are like, I don't want to share revenue with guys at the bottom and playing a pro-ams on Wednesday.
That's right.
Right? So I look at the Oregon Ducks, for instance, and I say to myself, man, that's a pretty viable football program. I look at Kansas, I think that's a pretty viable basketball program. And there are these random programs now that are hovering out there, and you're thinking, where do they go?
Right.
Joel, where do they go?
Okay. This, I think now we're into the nuts and bolts, because we just went through a conversation that makes every fan depressed in those from those other schools.
Right.
The conversation being the Big Ten is not going to expand unless it's Notre Dame.
Right.
Because the pie doesn't grow big enough to then, because the slices become smaller.
Right.
You take Kansas in, you take Oregon in, they're not going to do that. The president at Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State and Penn State and Wisconsin, they're not going to vote to have Oregon come in so that they can take less money. They're not going to do that. Okay.
Right.
So that's why. You're not just – all these people are like, well, okay, obviously Washington and Oregon will end up in the Big Ten. No. Like, that's the problem. And so I feel you. If you're a fan of those programs, I feel it, man. Trust me. I went to Colorado. I feel like we're this proud program, AAU institution, top 20 media market, own the Mountain Time Zone, won a national championship, Heisman Trophy. Stuck. Like – We don't grow the piece of pie large enough to get gobbled up. So what do? I think that you've got to be proactive.
Yeah.
Those that are reactive in this, and this is goes back throughout the history of conference realignment. I do believe that those that have been reactive have been left holding the bag, if you will. And only those that are proactive are getting themselves into the right positions. Now, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be in the right position, but it certainly helps. I think you've got to be creative. And I think that you might have to move quickly. Here's an idea. I know people might not like it. Maybe they do. If I was the Big 12 and the Pac-12 at this point, I would see the handwriting on the wall that I have. There's maybe 8 to 10, maybe 11 valuable properties out there. Now, you're not going to get Big Ten money or SEC money, but maybe you can maximize revenue for those schools. But you've got these other schools that are also loosely tied to you because of their conference affiliation. I think if those two conferences, let's say, consolidated, morphed into one conference, and then you had a top tier, bottom tier with relegation possible. You could move down, you could move up. The top tier of the conference would get a larger section of the revenue share. The bottom section of the conference would get a lesser share of the revenue. share. That, I think, could be a viable opportunity. But you cannot get into a situation where you've got equal revenue distribution with all of those schools and think that you're going to be on equal footing with the SEC or the Big Ten in terms of competition, exposure, economics, any of it.
So I said my view of what the Big Ten will look like going forward in football. The top four will be Ryan Day and the Buckeyes, Lincoln Riley and the Trojans, Harbaugh, Michigan, and James Franklin at Penn State. Those will be the big four. The next four will be Mel Tucker, Michigan State, Chip Kelly, UCLA, Kirk Ferentz, Iowa, and Paul Chryst, Wisconsin. Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, PJ Fleck at Minnesota will be bowl teams. But I believe your first four, and that's your next four. And I said today on Fox, I said, if that's half your conference, that is a heck of a conference.
That's a really good conference.
And I touch on that, Joel, because I think college football has a big game problem. If I take the NFL schedule every week, there's maybe one game a week. Texans play the Jags. I refuse to watch. The other games I'll watch. In college football, Labor Day weekend, 95 games. Georgia, Oregon, Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Those are the ones you want to see. Yep. Yep. It's the reverse of the NFL. It's the reverse of the NFL.
Following weekend, 95 games. Close. Bama, Texas, and I'm interested in Lincoln Riley's Pac-12 debut with Stanford. They have a big game problem. And to me, Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC, USC, UCLA to the Big Ten, I'm going to get combined those four teams. 12 more great games on television a year. This is entertainment now.
And it's really about inventory is what you're talking about. Valuable inventory. It's a business at the end of the day. No one wants to talk about that. And I know that fans, you know, bristle about that, but it is a business. And you need to create more valuable inventory. And that's what just happened. More valuable inventory was created. There is a massive big game problem. I believe that, and I've talked to you about this at length, I think that we still need to fix the way that we make non-conference schedules in college football in order to drive more interesting matchups, more meaningful matchups, and more valuable inventory. I think we still should get to a point, and this is where we're headed. Now we're going to have these two conferences that are really the power brokers in this sport, and they're going to have the same amount of teams. I believe that the SEC and the Big Ten should start talking about crossing over and doing some sort of non-conference challenge where you pit the top, you know, one versus one from the previous year, two versus two, three versus three, four versus four, five versus, and now you start talking about the inventory in college football going way up, and I think the value in those games going way up. And I think that that's probably where we're headed. Without a powerful governing structure, which without a visionary looking out for the global structure of the sport. So in its current fragmented state, we are headed towards two super conferences. There will be some that are left out. There will be some that might get in that aren't in at this point. But college football in the future will be major college football, at least, will be limited to at most, I think, 40 schools.
I don't think you're wrong. And, you know, if you take the SEC with Texas, Oklahoma, and the Big Ten with USC, UCLA, there's obviously about five schools out of that. Miami now with Cristobal, Clemson, Notre Dame, at its best, Florida State. Mm-hmm. Oregon, that are going, hey, we're good enough to compete with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't think you can put them in a conference geographically. It's just asking too much. And so I don't know how it comes out, but I say this all the time. The PGA wouldn't be in this much trouble had they not taken care of the elite performers. Greg Norman's been complaining about the PGA for 20 years, Mickelson for 10. College football wouldn't be in this problem. They have no CEO. This is why the UFC stole so much market share in the fight game from boxing. Boxing had no, they just had a bunch of individual commissioners and promoters, right? So I feel sympathy for the Oregons and the outsiders. I do. But this is what happens. It doesn't matter if it was the Saudis, Amazon, or Apple. The PGA was vulnerable. It doesn't matter if it's the Big Ten or the SEC. College football was vulnerable. So yes. To me, this was just bound to happen in this consolidation world we now live in.
And it was also unfair to think that we were just going to thrust onto the backs of programs like USC and, you know, Miami in some sense in the ACC and the Alabamas of the world and the Ohio States of the world, like Texas. Texas is a better example. Texas and OU, USC, you've got to make all the money for all of us, and then we're going to split it equally. It's like, hold on, like timeout. Like, that can't be your model. That model is going to get blown up. I think it's unfair to expect USC to remain loyal in that situation. That's not a popular opinion, obviously. People want the idealistic world and the utopia world where, you know, it's all kumbaya and everything, but that's just not reality. And that's what you're talking about is like economic reality, business reality. College football has been vulnerable for a long time. And the reason is because no one's been looking out for the whole. There's a reason the NFL is sitting where it's at right now. And it's not just because it's the tailor-made sport for television. That's helped. But it's also because way back when, boy, they circled the wagons and they came together and they said, this is the model that's going to make us ultimately more valuable than anything else. They've stuck to it. And look at where they're at now.
By the way, I think Ohio State will face Alabama for the national title this year. I've looked at both schedules. That's my takeaway this morning. Your thoughts?
I think Bama enters the season as the number one team. They've got, obviously the incumbent Heisman Trophy winner and Bryce Young, and I think they've got the best defensive player in the country coming back. So that's... they're going to be very tough. They've done well in the transfer portal. They obviously recruit really well. They're a better team than they were last year when they won in the when they lost in the national championship game. I think Ohio State's the best remaining team outside of Alabama going into the season, at least. I don't know how you stop that offense. I think it could be an offense that we put into the same category as the Burrow LSU Tigers, the Mac Jones Alabama Crimson Tide. It has the feeling of that. Great running back with electricity, depth at running back, very good offensive line, quarterback that could potentially win a Heisman Trophy, distributes well, as deep or deeper wide receiver corps than anybody in the country with all different styles, guys that can body you up, guys that can beat you in the slot. Ohio State's going to be sensational, and it comes down to one question for them. Can they play defense? But they're going to be my two favorites. Closely following that are three schools that I think are rounding out the rest of my top five. I think A&M is going to be very good.
Yep.
Jimbo is recruited at a high level. They've got some serious dudes there. I think Notre Dame is going to be really good.
And I think it's the best Notre Dame team in 25 years on the field.
Last year when I did their game against Wisconsin, they were winning and Brian was doing a good job with him. But even – to his own credit, he admitted to me, we're a year early. This offensive line is not ready yet. They're going to be very good next year. It was one of the reasons I was a little bit surprised he went, but he got so much money he had to go to LSU. They're going to be better this year. And then the last one, and this is what's going to be interesting because I do believe USC is going to be vastly improved and maybe the class of the Pac-12, but Utah is going to be really good. And I'm going to put Utah in there as my last team in the top five.
All right. I don't know if I agree with that last one.
Yeah, I know. I knew you wouldn't. But that's okay. the skiing is good. Not quite Colorado, but listen, I'm biased.
Well, happy Independence Day to you and your beautiful family, my man. We'll talk soon.
Yep, absolutely. Always great to bang around college football with you. I appreciate it.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure download the Draymond Green Show
wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney+. On Disney+, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truths and lies in the spy thriller, The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney+, available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.